Yitzchak Inyan Yud Aleph. Purim Yom Kippurim. We know from Tikkuni Zohar, we know from deep sources that Purim and Yom Kippur have a very, very deep connection. Rav Putner wants to explain to us what that connection is. Bein b'Purim, bein b'Yom Kippurim, medavrim al odos Kabbalah. Purim is a day of Kabbalah. Kimu v'Kiblu, re-accepting the Torah. Today where we promise to be better, today where we look towards the future. Kabbalah al-Asir. That's what Kabbalah means. Accepting things with hopes for the future. Yom Kippur also. Yom Kippur is also a day of Kabbalah. Yom Kippur is a day where I say last year was okay, but this year is going to be great. So it's a day of looking towards the future. B'Yom Kippur ha-medubar hu al-Kabbalah le-haba. U'bepurim ha-medubar hu al-odos kimu v'kiblu. What's the Kabbalah of Yom Kippur? Kabbalah alaba. Next year is going to be better. What's the Kabbalah of Purim? Pashup Shadi says, we speak about Kimu v'Kiblu. Which again, the Gemara in Shabbos explains that the Jewish people originally, when they accepted the Torah, Kafalayim Harki Yigis, they accepted the Torah with a mountain over their head. They got forced into it. And when Purim came around, Me'avas and Nes, Rashi says, they accepted the Torah willingly. So it's a Zman of Kabbalah. It's a Zman of accepting new things, or accepting to live in a new way, in a better way. This is an unbelievable piece. Look carefully. On Yom Kippur, we speak about a better future, connected to charata, regretting my past. On Yom Kippur, I say this past year was a disappointment. I'm upset about how last year went, and now I use that as a springboard to say my future is going to be so much better. I'm going to be a much better Jew this year. The things that I said last year I'm going to stop doing this year, I'm really going to stop doing. The things I said I'm going to start doing this year, I'm really going to start doing. So that's Yom Kippur. But he says, then to the first paragraph, "Ilu bePurim hamedubar hu rak al odos kabbalah ve'ein shum zechel inin charata." But Purim is all Kabbalah and no charata. What does that mean? Purim is all acceptance. Purim is all commitment towards the future. Purim is moving forward without regretting the past. What does that mean? Rav Putner was a genius. Look what he does here. It's beautiful. A genius of the spirit. He writes in Ozbeis. The light of this matter, the inner light of this matter, emerges from the well-known discussion in the Gemara that on Purim, there was a bittul, there was a negation of the Modah Rabba Lo Raisa. Modah Rabba Lo Raisa means the great excuse of the Torah. What was the great excuse that Klal Yisrael lived with from the time they accepted the Torah until Purim? So much so, the Gemara almost implies that if a person would have left this world, a person who stood at our Sinai got forced into accepting the Torah, and then passed away a number of years later, and they came before the Borei Olam for Din V'Cheshvan, and Hashem says, listen, you didn't do, Hashem takes out Shulchan Aruch, starts looking through, you didn't do such a great job in the Shulchan Aruch, you didn't really follow many of my halachos. So you say to Hashem, what do you want? I never accepted the Torah, you forced me into it. So for a long time, Klal Yisrael had an excuse. Purim came to negate that excuse. When they re-accepted the Torah out of love on Purim, from that point forward, there was no longer a Modah Rabba Lo Raisa, there was no longer the great excuse of the Torah. So he writes, Mashma'usa shamodahi sha'adam ha'moser modah to'in ki ha'maisa shu asa lo nase al yedei ha'ani shalo ha'atzmi. When a person issues a complaint, when a person says, I have a taina, what's he saying? What he's saying is, the thing that happened in the past, in this context, Kabbalah Satorah, wasn't really me. It wasn't really me. Right? That it was done by a part of myself that's not the essential ani. I said I'll take the Torah. That's true. You can play back the videotape, God. The Jewish people said we'll take the Torah. But it wasn't of our own free will. You held a mountain overhead. You forced us into it. So a modah, a taina, is when a person says that the maisa that occurred, the event that took place, was not really me. I can explain my actions, or I can really explain away my actions by saying that wasn't really me. It wasn't done with clarity. It wasn't done with a clear conscience. I was forced into it. Ela mitoch garmim chitzonim she'echricho asalakach. I was forced into it by some outside force. That's not who I am. Ul'umazeh bitol modah perusho hu lehepach. But a bitol modah, says Rav Fundner, on Purim, when what? When we negated the excuse, you know what we were saying? It's just the opposite. Sha'adam ha'mevatol tainas modah, Mashmi anu shadavar ze shenasa kan nasu dafka mitoch nekudas haani b'mali chirusa apnimus. When I negate the excuse, I say there's no excuse. That was really me. That was me. Right. That whatever happened, whatever the claim against me was, I must admit, I'm not making excuses. Bitul moda, a negation of the excuse. That really was me. Ah. So let's think about this. So put it into the context of Purim now. Put it into the context of the original Kabbalah Satorah. The original Kabbalah Satorah, a mountain was held over our head, and we had an excuse. On Purim, we negated the excuse. You know what that means, says Rav Fundner? It means that we went back to that time with the mountain over our head, and even though the Yetzer Hara might say, oh, it's not really you, from Purim we gained the perspective that even when we were forced into it, it was really us. It was really me. I didn't only accept it because I was forced. But in my etzem nishmasi, my ani, my anochi, really wanted it. Look what he writes in Gimel. He fleshes out this idea. On Purim, the day when we negate the excuse, Peirusha, what does that mean? With clarity. With clarity and clarification, we recognize in the clearest of ways, ki anasa v'nishma shayechu la'etzem ha'nekuda shel havayasenu ha'atzmutit. That the nasa v'nishma that we said before Hashem held the mountain over our head. See, the mountain being held over our head was so to speak, the confusion to see, do we really want the Torah? We already said nasa v'nishma. So why are you forcing us into it? Because Hashem said, as much as you say you want it, right? There's a part of you that's still hesitant. And I'm reminding you that you're hesitant. That's why I'm putting a mountain over your head. I'm forcing you into it. What do you mean? I'm totally into it. We said, that's Tosos' question on the side of the Gemara. We said, Nasa v'nishma, why are you threatening us? Hashem says, you're not 100% there yet. But when Purim comes, Purim helps us to get 100% there. So much so that when we look back at the original acceptance, right, we can look back at the past and say, we were really there. We were 100%, even in the past. That with clarity, when we said Nasa v'nishma, that was who we were. V'nimtza d'hakiblu b'purim machriz hu, ki ani hu ha'ish shemi etzem ritzoni, nishbati bar sinai Nasa v'nishma. That when I said Nasa v'nishma, the Zahara might want to look back at the tape and say, nah, you didn't really mean it. You got forced into it. But on Purim, we scream the Yitzhar in the face and say, no, that was really me. That was really me. I did want the Torah. I accepted it willingly and lovingly. And on Purim, I have the eyes to believe that. I have the heart to believe that. I can look back and say, that was really me. That's the bitul modah. Right? The excuse that, that wasn't really me. For a long time, the Jews lived with an excuse, a potential excuse, that we didn't really accept the Torah. Kind of got forced into it, but on Purim we reassess the relationship and said, no, but that really is me. If I go a little deeper, that really is me. Torah really is me. Torah's not foreign to me. Torah is me. I always share the idea from the Maharal. The Maharal says in his commentary on Pirkei Avos that the world stands on Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. So he says Gemilas Chasadim is Ben Adam Lachavero. Avoda is Ben Adam L'Makom, between you and God. So what's Torah? Ben Adam L'Atzma. That's right. Ben Adam L'Atzma. The very definition of Torah is Ben Adam L'Atzma. Torah is the most natural thing for a Jew. So there's times when we walk around with this excuse that, it's not really me. And if we roll back the tape, Kafalei Marke Gius was a mountain on my head. You'd say, look, God had to bully us into it. We weren't for real. But on Purim, we look back and we say, no, that was really me. No excuses. I want to take full credit for that. Because that's really who I am. I don't want to get half credit of that. Oh yeah, it wasn't really me. It was really me. It really was me. I want to pause here just for a minute and share with you a piece, because on the other side of the page, don't turn over yet, because we're not up to it yet. There's a third piece in Pachad Yitzchak. Pachet Yitzchak and Purim, Yud Aleph and Yud Zayin are very connected. We're going to learn Yud Zayin together. But I want to just mention Inyan Chaf Dalet as well. Because Inyan Chaf Dalet is also deeply connected to this idea. Inyan Chaf Dalet, Rav Hutner talks about a statement at the end of Pirkei Avos. Really the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos, which is not really part of Pirkei Avos, but we refer to it as part of Pirkei Avos. It says that there are 48 kinyanim of Torah, 48 ways to acquire Torah. And the last one is called Amar Davar B'Shem Omro, maybe Geula La'olam. If you say something in someone's name, you bring Geula to the world. What's the source that if you say something in someone else's name? So if you say, oh, I heard this idea, and you say who you heard it from, that brings redemption to the world.
Where is that?
It's in Pirkei Avos. So where's the source for that? Vatomer Esther Lamelech B'Shem Mordechai. That Esther told Achashverosh, in the name of Mordechai, you should just know that these two bad dudes, Bixam and Saresh, are trying to kill you. Esther says, it's not me, I heard this from a really nice person named Mordechai. So, that put things into place. Mordechai would get his ride on the horse, Haman would falter, Esther would make her barty, and Geula. So, Kola Omer, Davar B'Shem Omer, a person who says something in the name of the one who you heard it from, maybe Geula L'Olam. Klai Yisrael were saved because Esther said something in the name of Mordechai. She didn't take credit for it. She didn't say it in her own name. Which is very much the antithesis of Amalek, who's so much rooted in Gaiva. Amalek who's always taking credit for everything. Amalek who has the sense of entitlement and the sense of individuality that we don't need anyone, we can confront anyone. And Esther, who was in a position of great power and prestige, would have been very reasonable for her to say it in her own name. But she said, I heard this from Mordechai. She gives the credit to someone else. So Rav Hutner discusses in Inyan Chaf Dalet, why is that so? Why is saying someone in someone's name, why does that bring Geula to the world? So he quotes the Maharal. The ideas that a person shares is very much connected to a person's soul. So when you have an idea, when you say a chiddush, and when you feel deeply connected to a certain idea, and you express that using your koach hadibur, which is the thing that makes you a human being, you're expressing your essence, you're expressing your soul. Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Nafshi Yatza Bidabro. My soul goes out with His word. Right? Which could mean that Klal Yisrael heard God speak at our Sinai and our souls went flying out of our body, like the Gemara says. But also when a person speaks, their soul comes out. Your neshama becomes revealed when you speak. So a person's Torah teachings, a person's ideas, the things that a person says are deeply connected to that person's essence. So when you try to say something that you heard from someone else and you say it in your own name, and you don't attribute it to its source, that's galus. Because that idea has become detached from its owner. That idea, which is the essence of that person, has become disconnected from that individual. What's geula? Geula is bringing the pieces back together. Geula is when I say something in someone's name, when I align the person with his idea, when I connect the person to his idea, and I show that this is the essence of that person, this isn't me, he says, this is Mordechai. So that is geula. That's pulling the pieces together. So says Rav Hutner in Inyan Chaf Dalet, he says, what was the greatest kol ha'omer davar b'shem omro? What was the greatest thing that someone ever said where there's a tendency for the statement to drift away from the one who said it, and it's the most important thing to give back to the one who said? Rav Hutner says, Nasa v'nishma. Nasa v'nishma. When the Jews said Nasa v'nishma, there was a concern that with a mountain over our head, it wouldn't seem to be deeply connected to us. That statement wouldn't really belong to us. There would be a moda rabba lo reis, there would be an excuse, that's not who you really are. You never really said Nasa v'nishma. You only said it because there was a mountain over your head. So says Rav Hutner, listen, v'rak b'shah, you don't have it in front of you, v'rak b'shah shahadr kiblua b'mei achashverosh, Nisbar sha'amnam dibur ma'lalu shal nasa v'nishma mishteichim u'misyachim l'rekudas ha'tamsa shal atzmius yisrael. On Purim, nasa v'nishma became ours again. Isn't that amazing? That's what happened. The hadr kiblu, the reacceptance of Torah on Purim, like we're learning in Inyan Yud Aleph, says Rav Hutner in Inyan Chaf Dalet, is the return of nasa v'nishma to the Jewish people. That was the greatest thing we ever said. And to attach that deeply to us, that's mamish maybe geula la'olam. So much so that even a Haman, who wants to entirely destroy the Jewish people, and he was capable. wasn't able to do such a thing. Because when we're deeply attached, we come back to, and again, you should listen, if you haven't heard, you should listen to what the Mashpia spoke about in Eretz Yisrael. He spoke about Esther being able to be medaber lifnei amelech, to be connected to our own words. It's a very big thing. So when we were able to reattach Nasa v'nishma to ourselves, that brought the Geula to the world. And that's for Tomer Esther Lamelech b'shem Mordechai, that Esther was able to convey this message in the voice of Mordechai. And on Purim, we're all returning to our essential speech. Okay, that's a big part of what's happening. That's a big part of what's happening on Purim. Okay, so now let's go on. So again, coming back to Inyan Yud Aleph in Os Dal, we're up to the last paragraph. So what we've learned so far is again that Yom Kippur is a day of what? Of Kabbalah. Purim is also a day of Kabbalah. Yom Kippur is a day where I regret the things I said and the things I did. Purim is just the opposite. Purim is a day where I say, no, I really meant what I said. I really meant Nasa v'Nishma when I said it long ago. I don't regret that. That was who I really am. So he concludes in the final paragraph. Ulu mazeh b'hilchos tshuva. Writes to the Rambam. She'ikar ha'charata hi ha'achraza she'ani einani oso ha'ish. She'pal osam ha'maisim. Ad she'mach mazeh u'mishana es shumo. The Rambam says, how do you do tshuva? How do you do charata? You say, the person who did that thing in the past, I'm so far away from that, I don't even recognize that person anymore. I changed my name. What the Rambam, other Rishonim understood, change your name means actually change your name. To literally change your name. The Rambam understands change your name as one of the steps of tshuva is change your reputation. Klomar, ani acher ve'ineni oso ish. I'm a different person. I'm not that same old person I was. The guy who did that thing in the past, that's not me. I have nothing to do with it. Benimsa the mahalich hanefesh becharata the Yom Kippur who a mahalich shall what mesiras moda. Yom Kippur is the day where we make the excuses, where we say that's not really me, Hashem. The person I was this past year, that's not who I really am. I'm going to show you now who I really am. That's the charata of Yom Kippur, to say my past wasn't really me. Hamacher, we offer this excuse. Hamacher is ki ha'maisim shenasu einam novim b'shum ofen meha ani shaliha atzmusi. It's not coming from my inner ani. It's not coming from my inner essence. El shenisgal gluli adi migarim chitzonim. External things, superficial things got in the way, and I got distracted, and that's why I did stupid things. That's why I did averos. That's why I spoke without thinking. I regret those words. That's not who I am, Hashem. That's Yom Kippur. But Purim is just the opposite. Purim, we say, Hashem, I know sometimes I make excuses and say the Torah is too hard, it's not for me, I can't handle it. But in Purim, I say, that really was me. Nasa v'nishma, that really was me. Torah is me. I can handle it. Hamachiz v'amad gish ki what? Ki ha'maisim shenasu lo ba'o machmas garbim chisonu. The mountain over our head had nothing to do with my Kabbalah to the Torah. I accepted it because it's an essential expression of who I am. El adafka mima'amake havayuti. From the inner essence of who I am. From my mitzias. V'kad hu shorash ha'inyan. Shebemadbe'a ayom shal purim ein charatta mishameshes nosei l'shum dibur. So Rupunder says, that's why in Purim, not Purim looking back and making a cheshbin, what did Nasa v'nishma mean now from the vantage point of Purim? But he's saying, how do we express that on Purim itself? Purim is a day where what? Where he says there's no charata. The Indian of charata doesn't express itself on Purim. No regrets on Purim. No regrets on Purim. I still have, there's a little chunk in my dining room. There's a little piece on the wall, like a nice chunk of the wall, got knocked out last year. No one came over to me the next day and said, Rebbe, I regret that we knocked out a chunk of your wall. And I don't regret inviting you to my house last year. Purim's not a day of regrets. It's okay. We have no regrets. We have no regrets on Purim. We're there, we enjoy it. Right? Within Purim, maybe the next day sometimes a person has regrets. But within Purim, no regrets. We're just totally there. So what is that? Where does that come from? What it's really, says Rafunda, where that really comes from is because Purim is the day where in the deepest way I'm going back to the birth of Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai and saying, Nasa v'nishma, Hashem, no regrets. I meant it. I know sometimes I say, it was too hard, I don't mean it, I make excuses. On Purim I say, no regrets, I really meant Nasa v'nishma. That is Ani, that is Anochi. That's who I am. And therefore, says Rav Funder, charata has no place There's no conversation about Charata and Purim. Yom Kippur is Charata. Purim, no Charata. Ki al kein, hatochen hanafshi shel avodas yitzumo shel yom haPurim. Do you have these last couple? Oh, you made it onto the sheet. Amazing. Nice. Ki al kein, hatochen hanafshi shel avodas yitzumo shel yom haPurim. The inner essence and nature of Purim is that we're oker hu mitoch hanefesh es mahalach hacharata. We uproot entirely that mahalach, that way of living, which is so often filled with regret. Ki atochet shel bitul moda soser es tochet shel mesiras moda. Because by negating again the excuse, by re-accepting the Torah lovingly, what we're really saying is that all along we accepted the Torah. We're negating that we don't want any of the excuses we made from the time of Kabbalah Satorah to now. We want them all to be removed from the record. It's an amazing piece. Let's turn to the other side of the page, Inyan Yud Zayin, which of course is very much connected. And Rafunda writes as follows. Biderach Chlal. Mitzuyim heima diburim al odos charata ala avar v'kabbala ala haba levo b'smicho zelizeh. So often, says Rav Futner, when we think about our past, we think about our future, they always come together. It's hard to think about our future without thinking about our past. Sometimes my past was so bad, that's what inspires me to have a better future. Right? Or sometimes, if it's not so bad, when I think about the future, I can't not think about the past. When I think about the past, I can't not think about where I want to go from there. So the past and the future are so deeply connected. The Avar, the Charata of the Avar, and the Kabbalah Ale Haba are always side by side. Except on Purim. Shani biyom haPurim, shaf al pisha rabin bo'i diburim al odas Kabbalah Haba. On Purim, it's a time of what? Of longing for something better in the future. It's a time of Hadar Kiblua, re-accepting the Torah. Kimu v'kiblu, it's all about Kabbalah. It's all about kivoy, hoping, longing, looking out into the future. But on Purim, no regrets. No regrets. Why? So from there goes a step deeper. You have to learn Yud Aleph and Yud Zayin together to really get the full picture. He says as follows. He says, let's try to reveal what the feeling is. What's charata? When I go back to my past and I say I regret, what am I doing? I'm uprooting something bad. Charata comes to uproot that which I didn't like in the past. What's Kabbalah? Kabbalah is not uprooting. Kabbalah is hoping to do good. Right? So charata is, so to speak, sor meira. Charata is correcting negative in the past, uprooting the negative of the past. V'ilu ikar in yana shel kabbalah ba hu yitziras hatov. And when I talk about the future, I don't talk about so much avoiding negative, right? On Yom Kippur, when I talk about what I want to do in the year ahead, I focus more on the things I want to do. I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I'm going to do this, right? I'm makabel upon myself to do things. The ikar of charata is regretting the negative, and the ikar of kabbalah is talking about creating more positive. The mahalach hatmidi shel kochos hanefesh ein ze mochach klal ki kol aliyah ba'asei tov tigur achara b'derach memela aliyah b'sumira. Normally, but mahalach tmidi shel kochos hanefesh, under normal circumstances in the spiritual makeup of the soul, there is no guarantee that asei tov, that doing positive, comes along automatically with not doing negative. If I start doing more positive things, that doesn't solve the negative behavior that I'm attached to, or that I'm attracted to, that I'm connected to. If I speak Lashon Hara a lot. So the way to stop speaking Lashon Hara is I need to focus on stopping to speak Lashon Hara. If I decide, you know what, I'm going to start giving more tzedakah because I should be more generous with my money, that doesn't solve my Lashon Hara problem. So he says, there's no guarantee, under normal circumstances, we don't assume that an aliyah mitzad asei tov, that when I lift myself up to do more good, I automatically, tigur achare, I drag along automatically, b'derach memela, aliyah b'sor meira. I might still speak a lot of Lashon Hara, and now I give more tzedakah. The opposite is also true. The opposite is also true. Meaning what? When I choose to stop doing something negative, if I really stop speaking Lashon Hara, that doesn't automatically mean that now I'm going to start doing tons of positive things. So normally I have to work on both. Sor me'rav ase tov. Sor me'rav ase tov. Sor me'rav ase tov. I'm getting away from bad and I'm working on good. I'm getting away from bad and I'm working on good. Because one doesn't automatically generate the other. V'chein matzinu l'chacham sh'amru. A very sad but true Yerushalmi and Shkalim. It's very interesting, Yerushalmi. Look what the Yerushalmi says. Chazal tell us, Nitbaim la'egel v'nosnim, Nitbaim la'mishkan v'nosnim. Mamish and Yonah Diyoma. Jews are interesting, says the Yerushalmi. You ask them to give a donation to the Egel, they're very generous. You ask them to give a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, they're very generous. So make up your mind. Whose team are you on? You ask them to give for the Egel and they give. You ask them to give for the Mishkan and they give. Klomar. Ein asur be'rava aseitov mishamshim ba'adam b'yachas shel habahat talit. So what you see is that sur me'ra and aseitov, you could be a person who's into doing good things and also into doing bad things. And I think many of us probably feel that's a very good commentary on our life. There's a part of us that's really into good things and a part of us that's really into bad things. And therefore I need to work on more good things and I have to work on stopping bad things. I have to be active, proactive in adding good and removing bad. So now let's try to think about a little bit again this idea of Kabbalah towards the future and Harata on the past. Again, like he told us, charata usually means what? Regretting my negative behavior in the past, uprooting the negative past, uprooting evil. Kabbalah, when I focus towards the future, I'm focusing on what? Ase tov, of doing good. So he says, now let's analyze them a little bit further. That again, automatically we do not say that a decision to be involved in creating good things automatically uproots negative things. This is how it works 99% of the time, most of the time. Here's the key line. But on Purim, things operate differently. The whole Megillah is vina hafuch. It's backwards. Everything is different than you expect. Kishazek comes and no fell. When this one goes up, this one goes down. Normally, you have to work on both. You have to work on positive. You have to work on removing negative. But what do we learn in Inyan Yud Aleph? What do we learn in the first piece? What do we learn in the first piece on Purim? Which of these two kochos and nefesh do we use? Purim is all about what? It's all about Kabbalah. Purim is not about Harata. Purim, we don't focus on Sor Mira. Purim, apparently, on Purim, if I just focus on Kabbalah, there's a Chiddush. If I focus on Ase Tov, then automatically negative gets uprooted. The rest of the year, it doesn't work like that. Under normal circumstances, if you want to uproot negative, you have to put time into focusing on uprooting negative. But on Purim, for some strange reason, you can focus just on the Kabbalah, no Harata. Just focus on adding more positive, and automatically things will change. Automatically things will change. Want to hear a good gematria?
Yes.
My father told me a good kiddush he had. I haven't seen this in any svarim. The whole mahus of the Megillah is what? Like we just said, vina hafuchu. The whole mahalich of Purim is vina hafuch, where everything goes backwards. Everything is inside out. Like we learned last week in Tzidkas HaTzadik, right? Every move that Haman made backfired and brought Yeshua to Klal Yisrael. Every single move that he made helped us out. So my father pointed out that the gematria of the word Vina Hafuch is 167. The same number as the number of Psukim in Megillah Esther, 167 Psukim. So the whole Megillah is Vina Hafuch. Vina Hafuch is one of the key words of the day. And therefore there's 167 Pesukim in Megillah Esther. You have to read every Pesuk. You have to try to figure out how what you see is not what you really see. But there's something deeper. There's something more. Yes? Exactly like it's spelled in the Sefer in front of you. Benafoch. Vav nun hey, pei vav chav sofir. Benafoch. So biyom ze meira lanu ha'akara. So on this day we come to the realization. Kibam makum shenemar vav yis rotzitzu. Oz bal karchenu sha'echad nivnehu dafka michorbano shachavero. Vayis rotzu abanim bikirba. That what? That when there was a struggle, and there's an ongoing struggle between Yaakov and Esav. We are Yaakov, Amalek is Esav. When there's this battle going on, right? And it says that when Rivka found out that she was pregnant with twins, and she was told, Ula'om mila'om ye'amatz, that one nation will overpower the other, which the Gemara interprets in Maseches Megillah, k'shezek kam zenofel, when this one rises, this one falls. That's the line he said a line earlier, that's what he was hinting to. That Yaakov and Esav, again, Amalek, And Yaakov have this opposite kalach, that when one rises, the other automatically falls. Oz bal karcheinu, k'she'echad nivna hu dafka michorbano shachaver, that one is built out of the ruins of the other. Uvishas shiltona shalakarazu, so at the time that we come to fully dominate and understand and recognize and live with this, namely on Purim, holchem heim shneha anafim shal yitziras hatov v'akiras hara, again, if all year round you have to actively work on both, but on Purim, when one rises, the other falls, and vice versa. So therefore, on Purim, we have a different mahalach than the rest of the year. V'chol tenua shel yitziras hatov goreres achareya b'achareyach, b'derech shel psik reisha, automatically, he says. On Purim, every move that we make towards Tov, towards Kabbalah, Hadar Kiblua, Bimei Achashverosh, Kimu V'Kiblu, every positive move that we make, Hashem gives us a gift that automatically, it knocks off some negativity. Normally, it doesn't work like that. You give more tzedakah, it doesn't solve your Lashon Hara problem. On Purim, the things you commit to do positively, automatically drives away some of the negative. Because Purim is a day of Kabbalah without Charata. Charata is working on getting rid of negative. Purim, you just work on Kabbalah, just positive. Kulo positive, kulo besimcha. All good. Valkein, three lines from the end. Yom HaPurim hu hazmana yechidi shebo. Merubem hei ma'od hadibur va'odas Kabbalah ba. So therefore, Purim is a day. Purim, we just talk about, let's go, let's just go. Move forward, Purim. Right? Just go march ahead on Purim. No one's worrying about the past on Purim. No one's talking about Charata on Purim. Purim, we're just in the moment and moving forward. Because on Purim, you don't need to focus on Sor Mira. Purim, you just need to focus on Ase Tov. Just do more and more good. And then automatically, Mamela, again, it's a Chiddush in Kochos and Nefesh. All year round, we don't rely on that. But on Purim, we believe that there's such an opportunity to grow, to move forward, that we take advantage of it. Hadar Kiblua, Kimu V'Kiblu. Okay, so this is the advantage of Purim, to put it all together now, this is really the advantage of Purim over Yom Kippur. The Yom Kippur requires us to regret our past. Purim allows us to say, what do you mean? Our past was good. The real me is the Nas of an Ishma Jew. Not the fact that there was a mountain over our head. And therefore, we play that out every year on Purim. What he's telling us in Os Yud Zayin is that what? Is that we get involved in good things. We create a rivui of simcha. Just marvim b'simcha. Simcha, ava. Positive. Asei tov. And then automatically, hopefully, automatically, all of the sur meira, all of the negative of our life just falls to the wayside. And a person's able to just march forward. Okay? So we should be zocha to march forward to the Gula Shlema.